is the last time you skipped a stone across a pond? Think about that for a minute. Can anybody say they did that this summer? Or yeah? Excellent. How about in the last 10 years? Oh, good. Good, good, good. When you skip a stone, your goal is to get it to bounce across the surface, right? Bounce as many times as you can. I was never very good at it. I can maybe get 3, 4 would be like a victory for me. Maybe you've noticed this when you do it, but all those little bounces cause little tiny ripples across the surface of the water until the stone gently slips beneath, as opposed to throwing rocks into the water. You ever watch a toddler throw rocks in the water? Yeah, Bailey's saying, yep, sure have. They have such joy in doing it, right? Pick up a rock, throw it in the water, make a big splash, big ripples, and they giggle. And they laugh. They love doing it. But if you're in shallow water, you might also notice not just the ripples and the splashes, but you can usually see the rock disturb the sediment as it drops down. And sometimes it raises that cloud of aquatic dust. And sometimes it scares off the fish and the frogs and the other creatures that live near the shore. In the reading this morning from the Hebrew Scriptures, we hear the prophet Ezekiel speaking to a nation that is dealing with some very big, very serious ripples, the kind made by more than one big rock. In Ezekiel's time, the nation of Babylon had overtaken his homeland, the kingdom of Judah. Jerusalem and its temple had been destroyed, its leaders carried away into captivity. Ezekiel had two things to say about their circumstance. First, he said what they were living through were the consequences of sin. And sin, remember, is anything that separates us from God. People were not living as God had intended. And as a consequence, the nation of Babylon had overtaken them. But also, Ezekiel held up God's promise that all was not lost. The prophet says when we turn from our sinful ways, when we act justly and responsibly in keeping with God's ways, then we will surely live. And I want to emphasize that word, live, because I don't believe it simply means we draw breath. I don't even think that it applies to eternal life, which was never a primary focus in the Hebrew Scriptures. I think when Ezekiel says, when they turn from their sins, they will surely live, he means the kind of abundant life Jesus will talk about centuries later. I think Ezekiel means there will be fullness of life. There will be joy in the living. I think he means for it to be for all people, not just for the one who repents. Living in right relationship with God means also living in right relationship with one another. And if you've heard me preach for any length of time, then you know when I talk about how it's meant to be, I always point us back to the beginning. To Genesis 1, to the account of creation. God created all the beautiful things, all this perfect ecosystem we call the earth. God created every aspect of it to work together in harmony. God pronounced all these beautiful, wonderful things good. God created human beings in God's own image, imbued with the ability to seek God and to know God and to follow God's wisdom. And then God entrusted the care of this beautiful, wonderful planet and everything that lives on it and in it to these human beings, to us. Everything we need to live well is here. Everything that every human being needs to live well is here, provided we do it God's way. So if everything humanity needs to live well already exists, and our only job was to care for it, How did things go so far astray? That's the question Ezekiel was trying to address when he called out the wicked deeds, the obstacles, the ways that don't measure up. Ezekiel and the other prophets pointed to greed, to the hoarding of resources, and the subsequent mistreatment of the poor as some of the nation's sins. And that greed and that hoarding and that mistreatment are like the big rocks thrown into the pond that stir up the sediment and scatter the fish and disrupt aquatic life for a time. They are the ripples that disrupt. I happened to see a story on the news a couple of weeks ago about a salmon festival in Klamath, California, which this year featured no salmon at all. Zero salmon, none. The Klamath River in Northern California flows through tribal lands that belong to the Yurok tribe, one of the few tribes who have never been removed from their ancestral lands. Since the California Gold Rush in the mid-1800s, the Klamath River has been negatively impacted by mining, by rising water temperatures, and by the construction of 4 hydroelectric power dams. Impacted so significantly that this year the salmon population is unsustainably low. So the Yurok tribe is taking no fish this year, no nepui, that's the Yurok word for salmon, and it literally translates as what we eat. They are not able to harvest any of what they eat. Ripples that began in the 1800s are still being felt today and are still causing harm and disruption today. But there is good news for the Yurok and for the salmon. Because of persistent lobbying efforts by the Yurok tribe, the state has agreed to dismantle the hydroelectric dams. One has already been taken down this year. The other 3 are slated to be removed next year. And the Yurok are working to restore the natural habitat along the waterway, replanting the plants and the greenery that should be there that allow the insects to thrive that the fish feed on. And they're already beginning to see more salmon in the river. Ripples that caused destruction are being replaced by ripples of justice and responsible stewardship, and those are in keeping with the way that leads to abundant life. Life abundant and in keeping with God's way is what the Apostle Paul is talking about in today's reading from the letter to the Romans. Love from the center of who you are. Love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle, which is to say, put the needs of others ahead of your own. Help those in need. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. It's the love that ripples out from us and impacts the world. Share your friend's circumstances, whether good or bad. Discover beauty in everyone and get along. Okay, maybe it sounds a little idyllic. Maybe it's a little too good to be true. But it's the life we are meant to strive for if we are living God's way. Love God, love God's people, love God's creation. And we show that love by the choices and the ripples we make every day. In our children's time, we were talking about the watershed and how what happens at my house eventually impacts not only the creek across the road, but the Unadilla River, which my little creek empties into, and that empties into the Susquehanna River, and that empties into the Atlantic Ocean. And it affects not just the water, but everything that lives in the water, the fish and the water bugs and the life along the edge of the creek. I see deer taking water from that creek every day. And that water, as it travels, impacts every community it goes through. And that water, when it empties into the Atlantic, that also impacts the fishermen, the commercial fishing industry, the people who eat the fish that are taken from the waters of the Atlantic. What I do makes ripples in the creation, and those ripples can extend far and wide. The plight of the salmon in the Klamath River in California might seem very far removed from us. You might even think that problem is on a scale larger than one person can impact. What can one person do? Well, you all have seen what one person can do and how one person becomes a dozen people and becomes a movement. How many of you know that there is a watershed supervisory committee around Otsego Lake with members of the village of Cooperstown and the three towns surrounding the lake, and that a few years ago they undertook testing of all the septic systems around the lake to make sure they're all up to code, and that process is going to be repeated every 10 years to minimize pollution and contamination. You know that? Yeah. And now Richfield Springs town supervisor is proposing a similar plan for the area around Canandaigua Lake. How many of you know about the cleanup efforts every summer organized by the Rotary and Lions Clubs and the Biological Field Station to remove trash from Otsego Lake? Mandy tells me they took 27 tires out of the lake this year, which is odd because they seem to collect tires every year and they've been doing this for years. But there are 27 tires among the debris that was removed from Otsego Lake. Or do you know that Rotary Clubs all along the length of the Susquehanna River hold similar cleanup days in the summer? Or that the town of Otsego was the first in New York State to ban fracking, which has the potential to seriously contaminate groundwater. And when you talk about one person's impact, Julie Huntsman was the most instrumental person in that movement and in that. So you have Julie to thank, as well as the town board. All those efforts began with one person and one idea. One concerned citizen became a dozen and became organized. And the precious, fragile resource of water is better protected here today because of those voices, because of you. And I would argue that same multiplication is true about the impact I have on my little creek. What I do impacts my watershed and my creek. What your household does impacts this watershed and this creek and this lake and that river. What each of our children's and our grandchildren's households do, what each of our friends and neighbors' households do, what each agency around here does, it all works together. And when I'm vigilant and you're vigilant and our friends and neighbors are vigilant, the creation lives and thrives. When we listen and learn and care about one another and about the future, we are living into the stewardship responsibility God entrusted to us, every one of us, from the very beginning. This big, beautiful, wonderful planet we live on, it's for life. It's for abundant life for every one. In this season of creation and beyond, choose your ripples wisely. Amen.